Greetings, podcast listeners, and welcome to the January edition of the Colorado Review podcast. My name is Daniel Schoening.
And I'm Evan Senny.
And today we invite you to look behind the curtain here at the Colorado Review and the Center for Literary Publishing to hear a bit from our associate and assistant editors. In a series of micro-interviews, we're going to pick the brains of the folks that work here to get a sense of what they're working on now, what they're most excited by here at Colorado Review, and what they plan to do in the future with the skills that they glean from this office. Joining us first is associate editor and third-year poet here at CSU, Susanna Laudriegel. Hi, Suze.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys.
So, Suze, what have you been working on recently that you're feeling particularly excited about?
Recently, I've been working on a project, a book-length collection of essays called Every Door Has Its Own Key. I was working with Esther Hayes as a copy editor for that project. And the book contains these lovely essays written by students who did and completed a study abroad program in Zambia. And so I had the really unique pleasure of reading these essays, learning about their experiences, and also growing, I think, my experience as a copy editor. It was my first time endeavoring a larger project. Mm-hmm. And so I think I learned so much in the process of doing that and feel really grateful to have been a part of the project.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I think that's one of the wonderful things about CLP, that we end up jumping into projects that we otherwise wouldn't expect, that it's great to have the chance to copy edit, proofread, typeset full-length books of poetry or poetry or prose in Colorado Review, but to have a chance to have an outside project that really is testing the mettle of the skills that you've built here is wonderful. And I'm glad it was such a good experience.
Yeah, it was a really unique opportunity, I think, to blend the skills that we're learning here with the outside CSU community. Felt like a really unique and exciting venture.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Colorado Review, is there in your tenure here, now that you've been here for what will soon be a full 3 years, is there a piece, a project, a thing that really sung to you that you're proud to have contributed to or just excited to have read in the pages of what we produce at CLP or in Colorado Review?
Yes, absolutely. Last year, I was really fortunate to serve as the proofreader for Adam Fagan's Furthest Ecology, mm-hmm. Which is an amazing book of poems. And having the pleasure of reading that and working collaboratively with other interns was such a gift. And I felt that I learned so much in that moment, not only as an intern here and as a proofreader, but as a poet as well, because Adam Fagan is truly remarkable. And that book is a real pleasure to read.
Yeah. And a wonderful human. We had him on for the podcast. He visited campus for a stretch. And it's really nice when those things coincide.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now I would like to talk about the terrifying future for you and for all of us as third years.
Looming.
Who knows what we'll do. But I was wondering if you had any ideas about how the skills that you've learned at CLP, how you might apply them, what jobs you might be interested in the future.
Yeah, I can try to answer that question. I think there's a number of things. I think there's a number of technical skills that we've gleaned from this experience that would be applicable in all kinds of different careers. I think the copy editing, proofreading, typesetting, all of that has been so compelling to me, and I would love any sort of editorial position moving forward. I think would be a really exciting prospect for me. But I also think in general, this experience has taught me how to be a closer reader, how to attend to details, and how to work collaboratively kind of throughout the editorial process. And so I'm hopeful that those skills are ones that will lend themselves to whatever I choose to do. They certainly feel like they've been important to all of my other activities while I've been at CSU, and I'm sure that they will continue to be important in whatever I do next.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful answer. Yeah. I feel cautiously optimistic about my own future.
And if you're an employer in the Bay Area, Susanna Laudriegel, ready for you to give
ready
her a call.
Ready for me. Please take me.
Suze, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for our micro interview.
Thank you so much.
Joining us next is associate editor Esther Hayes, who, per podcast fame, was present for the fiction conversation with Stephen Schwartz, which, not to pat Esther on the back too heavily, but holds the record for greatest listenership in Colorado Review podcast history.
Star of the episode.
Star.
Actually, you know, if you haven't listened, I would say tune in.
Hi, Esther. Thanks for joining us.
So we're going to do the same string of questions that we offered Susanna Lodge-Riegel. To begin, are there any projects you're working on now or have been working on recently about which you're especially excited?
Recently, I've begun reading for the Nelligan Prize, which I was a part of last year, last spring, and it was very fun and exciting towards the end when all of us assistant and associate editors were together reading and choosing what the final 10 were going to be sent to the guest editor to choose. And that, you know, the conversations about rooting for which ones we liked and choose, you know, trying to convince other ones to whittle it down to 10 that we all felt really excited about was one of the most exciting things that I've done actually at Colorado Review and felt very community building. So that process is just beginning now and won't end until I think towards the end of spring, but it's exciting to get back into that, I don't know, community building process.
Yeah.
It really is fun. I was part of it last year too, because I read fiction. And I think if you submit to contests like that, hopefully it's encouraging to know that there are like actual arguments. We start whittling them down and then people love a story and they're like, no, this has to be one of the 10. And other people are like, but I want mine. And so we really are putting a lot of time and care and energy into trying to find the absolute best ones to send to our judge.
And actually there's the final process of getting to the 10 was quite difficult because there was a huge, you know, not a huge number, but a larger number than 10 certainly that we were trying to send forward. So there were such good submissions that we were all kind of individually rooting for.
Speaking of which, that contest is still open and will be open until March 14th. So if you've got a story you've been working on, we would love to read it.
And we can guarantee Esther will look at it.
I will read it.
She reads them all.
And hopefully fight for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's like that's the thing that I look for when I'm submitting to contests too, is just the potential that someone's going to want to go to the mat for it, that the structure is set up such that there's real input from a variety of voices and readers, so that though it does come down to one judge in the end, the chance for it to arrive at that judge's desk is greater because we have different eyes picking them, choosing them from that big pile that's hopefully going to be bigger yet.
Yeah, and there's time sort of built into our schedules and our shifts for those conversations and for exactly that of, well, what do you think about this one? Well, I'll reread that one because you told me to. Oh, well, you know, I don't know. But, you know, that is built into the structure of that contest, I think, is important.
Yeah.
Esther, I was wondering if there's a piece that you read recently or since you've been working at CLP that's stuck with you for some reason that you'd like to talk about.
In relation to the Nelligan thing, because I've been sort of thinking about the Nelligan Prize lately, getting back into that, one piece that I've been thinking about is Aisha and the Good for Nothing Cat by Shannon Sweetnam, which was the 2018 Nelligan Prize winner. And for the Colorado Review blog, I interviewed her asking about how that piece came to be. And, you know, there's something particularly unique about reading a story and then speaking with the author about their motivations. And that, I think, always adds some depth to whatever you're reading, or it can. And it certainly did with Shannon Sweetnam. She works with Syrian refugees in Chicago and writes a lot about, you know, young girls coming of age and their connections to education and systems and how those things can kind of be a escape for them in difficult situations. And I found all of that very interesting and found out that her mom was a math teacher and she was really involved in math, and that's why there's so many systems in her stories. And I don't know, it's always particularly wonderful to talk with an author one-on-one.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of the facets of Colorado Review and CLP that I'm also most excited by, as evidenced by our discussion with Susanna Lodge-Riegel. We have folks just coming through here that are major writers and writers that we feature, like Adam Fagan. And so I think having the chance to then speak with them, not only is wonderful for folks listening or reading the blog, but for us to feel that distance collapse between someone who's just won a major prize in fiction and who is just a human you're chatting with is really wonderful.
For those who have read Aisha and the Good for Nothing Cat, who are interested in the interview that Esther did, you can find that on the blog at coloradoreview.colostate.edu.
In closing, we're going to ask the daunting future question that we offered Susanna, but those listening should know that Esther has a whole extra year on Evan, me, and Suze. So lots of time to think, lots of plans to set up and then dismantle.
Her whole life is before her.
Oh, yeah. But what skills do you hope will translate from your time at the CLP in future endeavors that you could see pursuing?
First of all, just on the basic reading good work all the time and, you know, trying to evaluate what I and others sense is good, publishable, meaningful, emotional work. That has changed my writing, has changed my reading. And so just on a basic level of reading everything that comes through, I think that that is going to impact the future of my writing career and reading career for a while. But another aspect of this experience that I think will be extremely valuable in my future writing career is the exposure that we get here at CLP to working writers. Being able to interview Shannon Sweetnam and talk with her about her process, things like that. I haven't been to AWP yet, but we're all going to go to AWP together, and I imagine that that will also be a community-building kind of door-opening experience for me to be more involved in a community that I'm brand new to. So I think that that is probably one of the more lasting effects of working at Colorado Review.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
As ever at Colorado Review, we have lots going on in addition to this podcast. The Center for Literary Publishing is pleased to announce that Brandon Krieg's Magnifier, chosen by Kazem Ali as the winner of the 2019 Colorado Prize for Poetry, is now available at the Colorado Review website under the Bookstore tab. Also there, listeners can find past winners of the Colorado Prize for Poetry, including The Owl Was a Baker's Daughter by Gillian Cummings, and selections from our Mountain West poetry series, including Adam Fagan's Furthest Ecology. The Fall-Winter 2019 issue of Colorado Review is available now for purchase at that same bookstore tab. Likewise, be sure to pick up your own copy of the next installment of the Mountain West poetry series, Jamie McCarty's The Minuses. To ensure that you're up to date with all the wonderful things going on here at the Center for Literary Publishing and Colorado Review, be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to sign on to our monthly newsletter. Our third and final interviewee is going to be managing editor at Colorado Review, Jess Turner, second year at CSU in poetry and aficionado of all things ghosts and poltergeists.
That's me. Hello, everyone.
Thanks for joining us, Jess.
Thank you for having me.
As before, we would love to hear if there's anything on which you're working now or have worked recently that you're especially excited about.
Well, we actually just finished obtaining all of the poetry for the summer issue, which was edited by our very own Camille Dungy, which I was very excited to work with her.
And so what was the texture of your relationship? What were you working on? How closely did you work together? What input did you give on the poems that are being submitted?
Well, I think something that I really love about Camille is she has such an eye for contemporary poetry. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the poems ended up circling around the body and just feminism and queer bodies and all types of bodies. So I felt very invested in that project just in relation to my own work as well.
Yeah, what a gift to be able to work closely with her for a stretch on a particular project. That is a wonderful learning experience.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Jess, is there anything that you've read recently that you're particularly excited about?
I'm excited about a lot of the poems that we publish, but in particular, in our summer 2019 issue of Colorado Review, we published three poems by Kevin Fan, who we're actually going to end up publishing his manuscript in, as a part of the Mountain West poetry series upcoming this summer 2020.
Woo!
Yeah.
And so folks can keep their eyes peeled for that.
Definitely.
What about his poetry, for those that might not be familiar with him, is exciting, both in his selection in that latest Colorado Review or in his forthcoming work?
He's doing something really interesting formally. He works in these justified sort of prose-like but also lyrical blocks that are interrupted with just a lot of end stops. He changes directions really quickly, but in this rich way that everything ends up being cohesive and exciting.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to describe his work, is quite exciting.
We have one final question for you, Jess. Jess loves poltergeists, and I know with our previous interviewees, we asked how they would use their skills in the future. But as we are now sitting in the dark at Jess's request, I would like to know what your deepest fear is. No, we can...
Possession.
By a demon.
It is really nice working in the dark, although you can't see, as Jess commented. No, wait. No, Jess didn't. Danny did.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's not
hard to
great.
Know. Hard to know in
that's
the dark.
That's just us being excited about our own flannels.
But you should go on anyway.
So.
Yeah. We're both wearing flannels, so the ghosts can't know who they're possessing.
They can't get us. It's too dim, the light.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we going to ask our actual question?
Well,
what are you going to do in the future?
I definitely want to continue working in publishing. I've been working in publishing for the last maybe 4 years. I think it's just more my scene, and I feel passionate about reading contemporary work and elevating voices that are not usually elevated. All of that. So I'm hopeful. We'll see, though.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And just like our plug for Susanna Lodge Regal, anyone in the Bay Area this time in a couple months looking for someone to work, find her. Anyone looking this time next year, year and a half from now, grab Jess Turner.
Please grab me. Well, that's a crazy
unless
thing.
You're
don't grab me.
Unless you're a demon or a ghost.
Or a poor poltergeist.
Well, Jess, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for what I think is going to permanently change the aesthetic of this office, because it's much better in the dark.
They're never coming back on.
Yeah, no.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Daniel Schoening.
And Evan Senny.
Thanks, as ever, to Stephanie Geschwind, director of the Center for Literary Publishing and editor-in-chief of Colorado Review. Thanks also to Arne Geschwind, who produced the wonderful music that you heard throughout this podcast. Thank you for joining us for the January edition of the Colorado Review podcast. Hope to see you here again in February.